After resting a while, Bhagavan Sakhi said, Krishna had the desire to hurt the cows because he understood that the cows sitting around him were thirsty from eating so much grass. Syam sounded his flute and directed the cowherd boys to lead the cows to the Jamuna. The cowherd boys strolled behind the cows. Some boys walked beside Krishna and sang his glories. All the cows and boys received the same affection from Krishna as they offered to him, whether they were near Krishna or from or away. So they walk near Krishna and sing his glories, and Krishna responds by giving them the same affection. What to speak of conscious beings? How can the earth describe the greatness of Krishna's lotus feet, which distributed his sweetness and caused the jeweled ground to melt upon their touch? No living being at any time or in any way can ever measure the sweetness of Krishna's feet, marked clearly with the signs of a flag, lotus, barley corn, and other auspicious items. Who can describe the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet when he placed them lovingly upon the breast of Mother Earth? Catching a whiff of that fragrance, that is, a little bit of that fragrance, the bees rejected the forest flowers and buzzed around Krishna's feet without any inhibition or hesitation. As soon as they heard Govinda's flute, the innate entities started singing and the vocal entities fell silent. River waves froze and ceased their movement. Immobile objects started moving and solid objects turned to liquid. Krishna's flute song thus reversed the functions of nature. The world danced in wonderful ways when Sri Krishna pressed his flute to his bimba fruit lips and played the fifth note. The ambrosial song of Krishna's flute radically altered the nature of every entity in Vrindavan. Of Krishna's flute made non-moving objects tremble. It stunned the mobile creatures, melted stones into liquid, silenced the birds, brought bumps of ecstasy to the vines, made the creepers burst forth with new shoots, as hair standing on end, and faded the color of the flowers and caused them to drop tears of nectar. So here are the effects of Krishna's flute music. What was it? The sound of Krishna's flute made non-moving objects tremble. The mobile creatures were stunned. Stones turned liquid. Birds became silent. Vines, means Schlingpflanzen, developed bumps of ecstasy. And the creepers burst forth with new shoots as hair standing on end. Flowers faded in their color and tears of nectar dropped down. In this way, Vrindavan became glorious with the Babas. The transformations in divine love. The forest of Vrindavan exhibited the sweet opulence of her natural splendor in order to welcome Krishna. The sounds of birds joyfully warbling in the fifth note and the indistinct buzzing of the bees greeted Krishna. The sweet juice of ripe mangoes and other fruits dropped on the ground. The rich fragrance of the lotus flowers blooming in the lakes and the cooling breezes teaching the creepers to gently sway like lady dancers. All these combined to satisfy the senses of Lord Govinda. Now it's described how the trees of Vrindavan, who always hold a special position, greet Krishna. The example which is given is that they were exactly like wealthy men who received an honorable guest at home. Don't know if you have ever been the guest to a rich man. I was once the guest to Mr. Hinduja in Mumbai, and first a car came, a Lexus car, to where I was staying, and got me. Then we came to the gate and we were greeted by a dignified person, and then we were received in a room. We were given refreshment from the journey, and there was good climatic conditioning and juices and fruits. And then finally one door opened, and dressed in white with a very happy smile, Mr. Hinduja received us, and with kind words and so on. And so the trees are really the rich men of the forest of Vrindavan. You have to know that the trees in Vrindavan are always given a preeminent status. So here they are, the hosts. Just as the wealthy man receives a dignified guest, the trees welcome Krishna by smiling with their blossoming flowers. The trees sang to Krishna with their swarms of bees. The trees danced before Krishna with their fluttering leaves. And they offered him a beverage. Beverage means a very special juice of dripping honey and a meal of fresh fruits. The creepers in their soft leafy dresses danced for the pleasure of Krishna, while the singing bee minstrels means singers, repeatedly kissed their smiling flower faces. So the bees come always to these soft creepers who were dancing. You can just imagine the creepers, Malati creepers, and so some nice flower-bearing creepers are dancing in the breeze to welcome Krishna, and the bees, who are considered to be, by now we know they are the real singers, the forest stars, so to say, forest singers, they repeatedly kissed the smiling flower faces. So it's very interesting poetry. Now this chapter ends and a new thing happens, which has to do with the last verse. It is how Krishna sees Radha everywhere in the forest of Vrindavan. The mellifluous music of Krishna's murali pulled the grazing deer to Madhava's side. Syama's heart searched with thoughts of Radhika's beautiful, enchanting eyes when he saw their moist, elongated eyes. So So the eyes of the deer remind Krishna of Srimati Radharani. The peacocks became intoxicated with love upon seeing Krishna and then danced madly for his pleasure. Their fanned tail feathers reminded Murari of Radha's glistening braid, which loosens during their love play. As Krishna passed a lake, he mistook the happy chattering of the Chataki birds for Radha's armlets. Just see how much Krishna is thinking of Radha when he hears the Chataki birds chattering. She thinks these are the armlets of Radha. When Krishna hears the warbling of the swans, she thinks these are Radhika's bracelets. And when Krishna hears the call of the cranes, he thinks these are Radha's anchor bells. Krishna, in his bewilderment, thought that Radha had arrived. By gazing at a fragrant, blooming, golden lotus flower covered by bumblebees, Krishna's fantasy increased as the restless eyes of Radha's golden lotus face appeared before him. Seeing the ripe bale, orange, citron, and pomegranate fruits as he wandered from one kunj to another, kindled Krishna's fascination for different limbs of Srimati Radharani. Thus, mesmerized, Krishna saw Radha's transcendental form everywhere. This is not so surprising. Actually, the forest of Vrindavan deliberately, that means on purpose, manifested Radharani's attributes just to please Krishna. Hari became inflamed with love for Radhika by beholding her in every object of the forest. He could not steady his mind anymore. Krishna's heart was like a kasha flower caught in a whirlwind of conflicting emotions. Krishna quickly brought the hungry cows to graze in a valley beside Govardhan Hill. Then he played with his intimate friends to keep his mind from meditating on Radhika. Well, there is Govinda Lilamrita, a verse which is quoted also in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where one Sakhi comes back from Radhakund to meet with Radharani and Yavat, and she reports what she says. She saw Krishna dancing at Radhakund. Radharani is interested. Well, who is the dance teacher of Krishna? Could you please tell me? And the Sakhi said, you are the dancing teacher of Krishna. How am I at Radhakund? I'm here, says Radharani. No. Krishna sees your reflected image in every tree and follows that image by dancing. And that's how he dances. Now, if you think a little bit, what that means is, it will become clear to you if you sit at Jana Vabaitak at Radhakund when the morning sun rises over the Sangam. You can see the morning sun first as a reddish ball, but as the morning sun rises more and more, it becomes a golden ball, and this ball then begins to become reflected by the waves of the of Radhakund. And from Radhakund you will see, as you sit there, different rays, golden rays, emanating and going all over
So in the apricot lila, that image is there, that the Radhakund is there, and the rays of light which are reflected come into the trees, and a nice light spectacle is created. So Krishna, in his love, loving state of consciousness, sees this light as identical with Radharani, his dance teacher, and follows this light everywhere, dances through the forest. Can you imagine how beautiful Siam must dance? You know how excited he is. He sees many Radharanis. He sees how his dancing teacher has expanded in many directions and many forms, and is all dance, only dance. Let the dance of the Lord protect us. Let the dance of the Lord protect us. So, we will just have a little bit more. These were all news from the Vana Devis, but now something happens. Dhanishta comes with a group of maidservants from Nandagraha. Suddenly she's there, and she brings with her delicious ghee-fried foods and Yashoda's rasala drink, which was prepared in the morning. So Krishna happily greeted her. You must see, this is in the forest, and Dhanishta comes from Nandagram with these deep fried foods and the rasala drink. Remember, I think Rangadevi remembered this yesterday. Krishna had sent Yashoda home with the order that Yashoda should prepare some rasala drink for him. He said, "I will be thirsty in the forest, so you please make your best rasala drink." And she, Yashoda, had become very happy. And this is how Krishna could eventually leave Yashoda behind in Vrindavan. So now Dhanishta brings the rasala drink. It's ready, it's prepared. Krishna happily greeted her. "Oh, Dhanishta ji, have my mother and father bathed at the proper time, offered puja, satisfied their subordinates, and dined cheerfully with their family members?" The minister replied, "Yes, yes. For your welfare, they took a bath, worshipped the Lord, and distributed abundant charity to the Brahmanas. After taking their meal, they sent this snack for you and your friends." So, Krishna's mind is really not fully there. He has Radharani in his mind. So it says, "The creeper of Krishna's mind intensely yearned to climb the tree of Radha's association. Krishna thought that Dhanishta would now fulfill this desire. He blew into his flute and collected all the scattered cows and directed them to Manasaganga. The cowherd boys pushed the cows into Manasaganga so that they could drink the cool, clear, sweet water. Afterwards, the boys drank some water and sported in the water for a long time. Krishna and his friends tried to defeat each other in water splashing. Sometimes Krishna, who was a most expert player, would win, and sometimes he enjoyed his own defeat. Occasionally, Krishna dove underwater and hid his face amongst the blue lotus flowers, so that no one could see him. Then the cowherd boys searched everywhere and could not find Krishna, their very life and soul. They became seized with grief and wept loudly. Krishna laughed as he emerged from a patch of lotuses and then rejoined his astonished friends. "Oh, you are back!" whose eyes opened wide in a flood of happiness. Together they enjoyed various games. Afterwards they decorated each other with water flower garlands strung on lotus stems. Ganga Devi, it's getting so hot. Can you open the big door, please? The cowherd boy said, "Let me do it first. Let me do it first." While competing to decorate Krishna with various colorful forest ornaments according to their taste, Krishna said, "My dear friends, just see the beauty of the river bank with its pleasing atmosphere, and notice how the blooming lotuses are attracting bees and birds by their aroma. The humming and chirping is echoing throughout the beautiful trees in the forest. The scent here is soft and clean. Therefore, this is the best place for our sporting pastimes. I think we should take our lunch here, since we are hungry and it is already late. The calves can drink water and ramble here and there, eating grass. Like the whirl of a lotus flower surrounded by its petals and leaves, Krishna sat in the center, encircled by lines of his friends, who all looked very beautiful. Every boy looked toward Krishna, thinking that Krishna might look toward him. In this way, they all enjoyed their lunch in the forest." Actually, I just want to very, very briefly describe that there is a picnic and it's described how the cowherd boy placed their lunch on flowers. It's my big flowers, and they have their lunch in the flower. They eat from the flowers. They are very creative. Some take from leaves. Some have bunches of leaves. Some actually eat from their baskets. Out of their baskets they eat. Some eat from the bark of trees. And some eat from rocks. This is what the children imagined to be their plates as they ate their lunch. This is actually nice when you have a theater play or a Leela play. You should have the different plates from which they eat. Because they're children, they like to eat from different plates. Why all this boring? Maybe, Rangadev, you should also one day bring a flower inside, a bunch of leaves, or a basket, or bark of trees, some rocks, but not a Giriraj. Krishna is Yajna Bhut. That is, he eats only offerings of yajna. But to exhibit his childhood pastimes, he now sat with his flute tucked between his waist and his tight cloth on his right side, and with his horn, bugle, and cow-driving stick on his left. When Radhika hears this most interesting picnic, she faints. She wants to be so much together with Krishna. Mm. So then Krishna cannot keep Radha's separation, and Tulsi comes as a mediator to talk with Krishna about Radha. And when Krishna sees Tulsi, Tulsi beams with ecstasy. You know, this is what the Manjaris, they all have a certain very emotional intensity. They beam with ecstasy. All this there. So Krishna asked Tulsi, "Is your Sakhi happy and well?" Tulsi replied, "Because you are her master, Radha is always happy." Krishna asked, "Where is my Radha now?" Tulsi, "She is at home." Krishna, "Isn't Radha coming to the forest today?" Tulsi, "No, Radha is doing various duties at home under Yatila's order." Krishna, "What duties has Radha done?" Tulsi, "Radha, who is always absorbed in thoughts of your love, became absent-minded and tried to churn butter from a pot of water." Krishna asked, "What happened then?" Tulsi, "Yatila noticed Radha's mistake. She scolded her severely and locked her in the house." Oh, Krishna, "Oh no. Just listen. Just make a plan together with Vrinda how you can cheat Yatila and quickly bring Radha here." Tulsi answered, "Yatila cannot be fooled so easily." Krishna, "Oh no. Curses on my curses on my fate." So this is actually not true what Tulsi says. Radha is hiding nearby and hears this conversation and is blossoming with happiness. So then the divine couple meets. Krishna misled by Tulsi. Yes, this is the next chapter. But tomorrow I want to go because Kartik is quickly going out. It's like one of our giviks at the Damodar Puja. It's really quickly burning up. I want to come to my favorite time of the day, the Uttara Goshta. This is the most beautiful. You must hear this, because many times it's described how the sadhaka in this world will meet with Krishna during this time, for instance in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. Gokuma meets Krishna for the first time in the Uttara Goshta period. So good. Anything you remember from as something you hold very dear in your memory?
I remember how Krishna is so much absorbed into meeting Rani that when he hears the Chataki bird, he thinks that it is the armlets of Rani. When he hears the swans, he thinks that the bracelet of Rani. I don't remember the third bird, but he's thinking that's the anchor bells of Rani. In other words, he's all the time so much absorbed into meeting Rani that he actually sees her everywhere. And there was this beautiful example of how Rani is teaching Krishna how to dance without even being personally present, because he sees her in the reflection of the trees, of the leaves of the trees.
The bees are rejecting the nectar of the flowers if they once have tasted the lotus feet of the Lord.
The fragrance of the Lord. Yes. How was it as the Lord's feet are touching Mother Earth? Smells so nice. How did it smell though? Do you remember? I forgot. Some smell that was described. Usually everything smells like musk in Krishna's pastime. Describe the fragrance of Krishna's lotus feet when he placed them lovingly upon the breast of Mother Earth. Catching a whiff of that fragrance, the bees rejected the forest flowers and buzzed around Krishna's feet without any inhibition or hesitation. It's not described how it smells, but it must be totally mind enchanting.
Mm-hmm. I like how Krishna is responding to each flower pair with the intensity of their affection to him.
Yeah.
And how the trees are smiling with their blossoming flowers.
I like this part where it was described how forest of Vrindavan purposefully making Krishna remember Radharani in every and each step.
Do you remember how what parts of the forest reminded Krishna of Radharani?
The deer's eyes?
Yeah.
The
deer's eyes, yeah.
And the lotus, which is golden lotus, which is filled with bumblebees.
Yeah, right. I remember that as well. Yeah. Wonderful. I can only remember. I like so much how the cowherd boys are so creative and so into it, you know. And it's so clear, they can only have this rasa with Krishna when Krishna is alone with them in the forest, and then they can eat, you know. They can eat from a rock. Wow. Today I'm eating from a rock. You know? Wow, what a good idea. I'm also eating from a rock, just like you. You know, they can't do this when the parents are there, because the parents must have put plates and everything, you know. But now, today, from the rocks and from the bark of trees and from a bunch of leaves, and you know, they are just and Krishna is fully participating in this, you know. Krishna is not aloof and laughing about the creativity of his friends, but he's joining them, you know. He eats also from rocks, and in fact we do find in even in Vrindavan now, we find these places and it's always explained that they put the Katoris there. But I think it's wrong. From the scripture we understand that they ate from the stones. You know, it's not that they put an eating vessel on the stone, but they ate directly from the stone. It's so nice. I'm really happy when I hear this, because I somehow, by Krishna's mercy, you are all young, modern people, but I used to have such childhood pastimes also. I was also so creative and so we didn't have any interesting toys. We were just play with stones and with sticks the whole day, you know, because a child has so much fantasy. The stick becomes a man, and the stone is a universe, and you know, when the stone comes close to the stick, a huge story develops, you know, which takes a whole day to play it out, you know. Children, we were like this. I sometimes think the modern children, they get so many toys which kill the fantasy, you know. When you're devotee children, you should not give your children so many toys. They have a world which is much richer than our world. But if we block this world by stuffing it with our own insignificant stories, then we kill the fantasy of the children. Yeah, anyway, so I just think it's so sweet how Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sits at the river bank. But anyone else has memory?
It was nice how Krishna is changing the nature of everyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In many ways. So in every book is a smooth melting the sort of things, rocks, and also the nature of everyone is changing when he is near, when he is in contact with him.
And we are Krishna conscious, yeah.
I like so much how when Krishna goes with the cow to the Yamuna, how the cows drink first and then they have her poise.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, like, the whole pastime is actually to meet Radharani and the Sakis, but Krishna gives to each and everyone the feeling and the love that actually I'm here for you. Also, internally, he's so obsessed in Radhika, but still he has this exchange and gives the feeling to everyone that this love and I'm here for you.
He's expert to satisfy everyone's desires.
Yeah. Fine. So nice to, you will see when you read this many times after over and over again, after some time these will become meditation or thoughts which you have at the beginning. At this stage, hearing about Krishna is really training for our mind. But once you put enough information into the mind, you will actually remember these pastimes and throughout the day, and little things begin to turn your mind to Krishna. It's very, very nice. Yeah, I just wanted to thank all of you for... I'm feeling now very, very nervous, actually. The time has just raced by so fast. It's really, we have to... Oh, Krishna, it was like a storm. But now it gets good, you know. We have finally cleansed the mirror of the mind a little bit by our chanting, just a little. And even if you noticed how peaceful Govinda Kund is becoming, it's amazing.
Except for today. A group of
300. Yeah. Wow, did you see what they offered? My God. They came and they wanted me to dance in the middle. Then I thought, I'm not going to do this little Ranga Devi dance.
You was dancing?
No. Good. So, fine. So let us end the evening.
Krishna, Krishna.